I'm sure one of the sensitive issues will be money. When they see the offering here, so often we possibly want to try to avoid these kind of things that hinder people from coming to the church. But it is obvious the offering bag is here. When you are somebody from outside coming in for the first time, you know, wow, the church, what do they want? They want my money. They want my time. They want me to spend the whole morning here, even the whole Sunday here. They want me. They want to benefit from me. That's why so often when we, before we pass this offering back along, we say, if you are a non-Christian, you do not know the meaning of this offering, could you just ignore it and just pass it to the person right next to you? Will they do that? They feel embarrassed if they don't put something in there. So the next time they will not come anymore, because when they come, they feel obligated to give. And you heard about younger ones. Sometimes your parents will complain that you spend too much time in the church. You heard about the phrase that said, why don't you bring your pillow and your sleeping bag, spend time in the church? You don't have to come back anymore. So the church requires us, the church demands from us our money, our time, our talents, or whatever. The pastor will always come to you and, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? The church requires, the church demands from us a lot. By the way, I do not know the name of that person who was doing scripture reading over here. You did a very good job. Appreciate bringing forth to us the Word of God in a very appropriate manner. Well done. But when we come to the church, another thing is we look at the Lord and say, what do you want from me? So often from our sermon, from the pastors, there's a lot of things, a lot of demand from our Lord. In the scripture this morning, love the Lord your God and keep His requirements. Keep His requirements. You require that, you demand that, a lot of things from the church. His decrees, His laws and the command always. And also in verse 8, observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today. A lot of requirements, a lot of demand, and a lot of commands. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. Other than from the scriptures, there's a lot of rules and regulation within the church. I don't know about you. In our church, there are lots of man-made rules that you need to follow. Summertime, you can dress this, you cannot do that. Wintertime, you can do this, you cannot do that. When you come into the church, you can do this, you cannot do that. So there's a lot of requirements, there's a lot of demand. So you come to the church and say, are we in the period of grace or law? By the way, when you look back into the Old Testament, there's a lot of requirement from the Lord. So you feel that the Old Testament is full of law. The Old Testament is a period of law. Very legalistic, right? But on the other hand, if you read Old Testament very carefully, grace precedes law. It's always there. I can even say that Old Testament is full of grace. So it's a period of grace. It's not wrong to say that Old Testament is a period of law. But Old Testament is also a period of grace. Because wherever you find law and requirement, demand in the Old Testament, grace precedes it. Grace is always there before the law. Set a good example. The Ten Commandments. Before the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. Don't forget verse 1. Verse 1 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Grace before law. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you salvation, grace and love. Now, please observe this and that. And the observation, that requirement is for your own good. Grace before law. When we were young, I'm still young, but when at home, so often, we complain that we have no freedom at home. My house is full, my home is full of requirements, laws, regulations, restrictions. We have no freedom at home. But remember, grace precedes law, even at home. Give me a good example. Let's say one day you got your license, you're able to drive solo, alone, so nighttime. So at 7 o'clock, you go to your dad. Dad, can I have your key? not to your safety box, but to your beautiful car. Dad, can I have your key? Okay, usually, what will your dad say? Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to have parties with my wife. No, I'm going to have a date. I'm going to impress my girlfriend, that kind of thing, right? Okay, you can have it. But make sure you come back at 10. Why 10 o'clock, Dad? All my friends can come back at 11, 12, even midnight at 1 o'clock. Why 10? No freedom in my home here, Dad. There's no freedom here. See, my friends, they can come back at any time they like. Before you do the complaint, think about it. Who owns the car? Who paid for that? Who even filled up the gasoline tank? Who has the ownership of that car? Everything belongs to him. And then now he said, okay, you can have it. Is that grace or is that law? And then he said, you better come back at 10 o'clock. That's law. But even that law is out of love. Why 10 o'clock? Hey, it's dangerous out there. You better come back 10 o'clock. And I want you to sleep early so you can get up early tomorrow. For your own safety, and so that I don't have to stay up late worrying about you, please come back at 10 o'clock. At least he says, please. The old Chinese father will say, 10 o'clock, that's it. That is law. At least your dad will say, please, for my sake, come back at 10 o'clock. So, do you have freedom at home? Is that law, full of law at home? No, you have grace before that. The Lord requires this and requires that. Is that totally legalistic? When we come to the Lord, sometimes we feel in the church that a lot of things that God demands from us. On the other hand, some people come to the church with a long shopping list. I think your Christmas shopping list is still with you. Lord, I want this. God, I want that. I want this. I want that. They come to ask from the Lord for this and for that. Let's keep the balance. Your shopping list and God's demand. Why God demands from us? Because He wants to bless us. Because He loves us. Because He wants to give us things that are good to us. Over here, when He says, love your God, love the Lord your God and keep His requirement. And then He says, everything beyond heaven, heaven and beyond it, the earth and everything on it belongs to me. Now, when He says, I want this and I want that, but He says, heavens and beyond heaven, earth and everything on it belongs to me. When the Lord asks from you, is it because He is so poor that He needs your contribution? When your father hand the key over to you, he said, please fill out the gasoline tank. At least that's a price you have to pay. But when the Lord comes to you and say, I need this from you, I want you to do that. Is it because He is poor? No. The Bible says heaven and everything beyond heaven, the earth and everything on it belongs to Him. He has everything. But now He's saying, I want it from you. And then the verse following that, it says, He is the Almighty God, awesome God, God of gods, Lord of lords, the Almighty One. That is why we are here to worship Him. Our purpose of coming on Sunday morning, again, is not the requirement of the church that you have to come on Sunday morning to worship. Friday or Saturday, you have to come for fellowship. Sunday morning, you have to come to worship and come to Sunday school, and you have to do this and you have to do that. But because He is the awesome God, He is the Lord of Lords, He is the Almighty God. So when we come back, because of that, we want to come to worship Him. And then when we give to Him the money or whatever, the time, the talent, let's remember He has everything. But since He has everything, why He requires us to give it to Him? We Chinese, we know how to do mathematics. We are good in calculation. We calculate a lot of things. So when we come to give to the Lord, especially money, we are making calculation in our head. Now, 1 minus 1 is equal to 0. We all know that, right? 2 minus 2 is also 0. Nil. Okay? It's so simple. You don't need your iPod, iPhone, that kind of thing to calculate. 1 minus 1 is 0. But when it comes to the spiritual thing of it, spiritual aspect of it, spiritual principle of 1 minus 1, I think 1 minus 1 is 2. No, I'm not crazy. 1 minus 1 is 2. 2 minus 2 is 4. Hey, you're right. You know. 2 minus 2 is 4. Let me cite that example. Parents. When they have little kids, they may offer one little cookie to that child. Okay? So the dad will come, okay, I'll give you a cookie. You're a good boy. I'll give you a cookie. Now, after giving that cookie to that little boy, the mom or the dad will say, can I have a bite? Can I have a bite? Is the dad very hungry? Is the mom really hungry? He wants the kid to share that bite with them? No. Can I have a bite? Can I have a little bite? If that little boy, let's say 2 years old, terrible two always say no. Terrible two, no. Now, how will the parent feel? Come on, I gave you a cookie. Now I just want a little bite. And now you say no. Wow. It hurts. Now, is that little cookie that matters? No. It's my feeling. So it's a relationship kind of thing. It's not about the cookie. It is about relationship. When we come to give to the Lord said, I give you everything. I have everything. Now I have given you a cookie. Now, can I have a little bit back? He said, no. It's mine. How would the Lord feel? But, now let's say this little kid, they have two cookies. Two. I give you two. A little one. Okay. Now, can I have one? Now, this little boy said, okay, Dad, you can have one. Or you can even have two. I'll give all to you. I'll give everything to you. The two cookies that I have, I'll give you two. Now, what will this father do? Are you so hungry that you're going to grab the two cookies and then you eat it? No. He will say, what a lovely child. You are so good. You love your daddy. Daddy is so happy now. Okay? You can keep the two. I'm okay. I know now. I know that you love me. I know you are so good to me. And on top of that, I'll go to the kitchen. I'll give you another two. So 2 minus 2 is 4. The two that the little kid has given up becomes a blessing. It becomes 4. The one that is willing to give to the father or to the mother is so happy. Because of what? Not because of the taste of that cookie, not because of that little thing, but because of that relationship, that child with me. Same thing. When we come to the Lord, He has everything. Heaven and heaven beyond it. Earth and everything on it belongs to Him. He doesn't need our money. The church is not that poor. He is the Lord, the Almighty Sovereign Lord. He has everything. When He requires from us, He's just saying, do you love me? Are you sure you love me? Put it in action. See that, show that you love me. And when you do that, I'm so happy. I'll bless you even more. Everything belongs to the Lord, including all your possessions. Including your life, including all that you have. In my pre-marriage counseling, when I touch on finance, I will touch on the issue of transfer of membership. There's a church. Transfer of ownership. Now, you own a car. You may own a house. You have some money in your bank. Okay? You have a lot of things. And you even own your life. You have a job, everything. So often we look at it as mine. It is mine. It is mine. But as a steward, when we practice stewardship, we have to always come back to the Lord and transfer the ownership of everything back to Him. We're just a manager. We're just one person taking care of what God has entrusted to me. Remember, transfer of ownership. When you buy a new car, bring it home, you sign everything on the paper, the ownership of that car is under your name. But remember, you are just a manager. You are just managing it. When you buy a house, remember to, in your housewarming party, invite a pastor in and give a dedication of that house and that car to the Lord. Because this is yours, not mine. I'm just a servant. I'm just a manager. When you have a baby, remember to do child dedication, infant dedication, child dedication kind of thing. While you do that, transfer the ownership back to God. This is not my child. This is yours. And you entrust it into my hand. One day, I will have to be accountable to you. The car you gave me, the house that you put in my hand, and all the children, whether half a dozen or one dozen, you have to be accountable to the Lord. So one day, the Lord will come and you face Him and say, how about the 12 children I've put in your hand? Where are they now? Oh, one in prison, one in drugs, rehabilitation center, one's dead, one left house, I don't know where he is. And you'll be accountable to Him about all the children that He put into your hand. You'll be accountable to the car, the beautiful car that the Lord has put into your hand. Now, your job is to acknowledge and remember it's not yours, it's His. But you have a job to do, to maintain it. Remember to change oil, change the brake shoes, that kind of thing, and clean it every day. So if that car belongs to the Lord, you're just a manager. One day, evening, and you say, I want to go for the race. I want to race with my friends. Then you ask, hey, master, can I do that? Every time when you want to do that, you ask him, Master, can I do that? He will say, no, that car is not for racing. Don't do it. Then he said, okay, yes, sir. I was in Singapore for 6 years. The Singapore Army or the National Service people, after going in for 2 or 3 years training, they come up, they learn 3 things. Yes, sir. No, sir. I beg your pardon, sir. Sometimes we have to learn that. Yes, sir. No, sir. I beg your pardon, sir. Total obedience. And if you don't hear it clearly, you say, I beg your pardon, sir. Repeat, sir. So when we come to the master, it's yours. You put it in my hand, the new car. What do you say? And one day when you come to church, on the way, you come up Boundary Road, just like I came up this morning, and you come across a family with 4 kids, almost raining, and one of them have a chocolate in their hand, one of them has an ice cream, one of them has a sticky candy, and so on. Okay, remember, this is a new, beautiful car. And you say, should I pick them up? Should I pick them up with my new car? Then you'll be reminded, the Lord said, no, it's not yours, it's mine. Should I pick them up? Yeah, I think it's a good idea to show love in Christ. What about those little kids with chocolate candy and everything that may stain my beautiful car? Well, the master will say, it's your job to clean it up. It's my car. If they soil it, it's your job to clean it up. Then you will stop instead of pressing on the gas and go faster, pretend not to know them, pretend not to see them. You will stop, pick them up, and then come to the church and say, Master, I've done your job. One day. Now, when you buy a new car, usually for that week, you won't be able to sleep well at night, right? You park outside, and then once in a while, you think about, my car's still there. So in the morning, early in the morning, 5 o'clock, you get up, oh, my car's still there. Wow. But one day you woke up, you open up the window and say, oh, it's not there. How would you respond? How would you respond? Usually we'll say, where's my car? Where is my car? Then you call your wife, hey, honey, our car is gone. Our car is gone. You get so upset, frustrated. But remember, at that moment, you're being reminded, no, it's not your car, his car. How would your response be? I think you will at that time come to the master and say, Lord, your car has been stolen. You didn't sleep last night, didn't you? And you saw the guy taking my car away. What did you do? Oh, okay. If you allow him to take your car, what am I going to do now? Give me instruction. You won't be so upset because it belongs to him. And he allowed that thing to happen. And you come to him and say, Lord, what's next? Same thing to your house. Same thing to your children. You do your part. You do your best. Take care of them. Anything happen to them, come to the master. What should I do? When you rededicate everything back to him, even when we come to dedicate our children, Lord, this is a child that you entrust into my hand. I promise you I'll do my best. I promise you I have a best role model for this child to grow up in your teaching. That's my job. One day, I'll be accountable to you and how he was brought up. Stewardship. When we come to the Lord, know that all the things that he entrusts to us is because of his love. It's because he wants to bless us even more. And in this phrase over here, in Deuteronomy 10:19, it says, and you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourself are aliens in Egypt. He wants to remind us, everything belongs to me. I'm the awesome, mighty God, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. And now, I'm blessing you with all these material things. And I will continue to bless you as long as you remember your situation before I bless you. And you were in Egypt. You were an alien. You yourself were in Egypt. Now you receive my blessing. Remember those that are in need. So our giving to the Lord is also for the blessings of other people. Now when it comes to tithe and offering, I don't teach 1/10. How much should we give to the Lord? So often we have been taught, oh, you give 1/10. That's the guideline. Or is that the rule? No, I don't think we should give 1/10. So often we feel, I've done my duty. I've done what I have to do. That is, I give 1/10. My salary is $1,000. Every time when I receive my paycheck, I'll just write $100 to the church. That's it. I've done my part. I don't think we should give 1/10. My teaching on tithe and offering is 100%. 100%? You give everything to the church? You bring everything into this offering plate? No. Romans 12:1 says it's a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, including your life. You say that I've worked hard, I studied hard, and now I got a good job, I have a good paycheck, because I'm smart, because I work hard. So all my talents, all my salary, they're all because I'm so good. Now, Lord, I'm giving you 1/10. So often in our prayer, offering prayer, we're saying, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. Now we are bringing back a little bit for your ministry. We bring back a little bit for your ministry. And we think that we have done our part. But I think what the Lord requires from us, what the Lord wants from us, is our total obedience and total giving. 100%. If we know how to give our life to Him as a living sacrifice, there will be no problem giving all our money to Him. Because He owns everything anyway. So today, when you come for the pledge, That's another lesson that we can learn. Is it because the church is in need? Is it because the Lord is so poor that we have no money to build our building or whatever? No. I think this is an opportunity to challenge our faith. Why is it called a faith pledge? Faith pledge is to come to the Lord and say, I cannot do it, but you can do it through me. I cannot do it. You can do it through me. In the Old Testament, so often when you see the records of what the people have done, there's a great accomplishment. You will always see that the prophets and so on will say, look at what the Lord has done for us. The credit will always go back to the Lord. See what the Lord has done for us. When they look back at history, it's always what the Lord has done. Let me challenge you in your faith. When you come to the end of 2011, with this challenge, you are able to say what the Lord has done in your life. This will challenge your faith. Let me recommend this to you. Not just give a little bit to the Lord. Pray about it. Pray to the Lord and say, give me an amount that I know I cannot achieve. From my ability, I know I cannot achieve this amount, but I will pledge it with you. I will make a covenant with you, Lord. I cannot do it, but you can do it through me. At the end of the year, if that amount were to come through, you're able to say, I didn't do it, but the Lord provided it. Is he so poor that he needs your tithe and offering and fund for the building? No. He is giving us an opportunity to test our faith. He is giving us an opportunity to challenge our faith. He is giving us an opportunity to show his power and will and love. So that when we, at the end of the year, with that pledge and coming to fulfillment, we're able to say, Lord, you're so good. I didn't do it. I can't do it. Glory all to you. So, let me challenge your faith to go one step further. Put a pledge, an amount beyond your reach. But at the end of the year, you'll give a comeback to the Lord and say, God, you are so good. And I'm sure, the amount that you put in here, if at the end of the year, the Lord so will that you will not be able to accomplish or fulfill, I am sure the church will not go after you. Hey, you pledged $1,000, where is it? I'm sure the church will not go after you. But the Lord will come after you. In a way, hey, we have a covenant here. Didn't you have enough faith to trust that I can supply that needs? Didn't you come to me every day in a spirit of dependence and say, Lord, I need that amount between you and me. And all you need is not my money. You have everything. You want to test my love and my faith in you. Help me this year to learn this lesson. Challenge my faith this year that I may trust you more. And every year at the end of the year, I will come to you and say, Lord, you are so good to me. Lord, in your daily providence, I thank you for your faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. You are the Lord who owns everything. And yet, out of your love, you're willing to send Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for us, to die on the cross. As we come today, we know that you want to challenge our love for you and our trust in you to show us your grace and your power and also your daily providence, in that we will continue to experience your faithfulness in our daily living. Help us to live a life of living sacrifice, so that in our daily living, we're able to show forth Jesus Christ and his love to the world that needs your salvation. Thank you for your reminder. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.